Please turn with me in God's word. We're going through the life of Joseph, and we have known the Lord's help going through this. Practical lessons. We're coming through now again the temptation that Joseph experienced, and this will be our fourth message on that. And God willing, next week we'll look at the triumph over temptation. But we pray that God will bless us and God will give us help this afternoon. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, reading at verse 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therewith. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we come before thee just now. O God, we pray that thou wilt give help. We thank thee for the lessons already that we've been learning through the life of Joseph. And Lord, it is our desire that we will look beyond Joseph and we will learn of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, O God, that our desire week by week, that we'll hear and be drawn closer to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray, O God, that thou wilt encourage us. And Father, we pray that thy word will be written on our heart, that even whatever we face this week, Father, we thank thee thou hast even prepared us as we've sat at thy feet. Guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In considering Joseph's temptations, in the last number of weeks, we have already thought of the permission, the period, the place, the pondering, the persistency, and the pressure of Joseph's temptations. And we have some more thoughts later on today. But Joseph was tempted while he was in Egypt, the place where he lived. There was the place of work, the place where he was alone. He was attacked in his person, his position, and his proclamation. His whole being was attacked as a child of God, as a faithful servant on the Lord. And his temptation that he was tempted with was to make him fail, rendering him unuseful, unfit, and unable to fulfill the will of God in his life in saving the nation from death. God had chosen Joseph to be the deliverer of the people. And so later on, as we look in this book or in this life of Joseph, we will find when there is this time of famine, when there is a great need, the people are to go to Joseph. For in Joseph are riches. In Joseph is all their supply. And so when we think of a greater than Joseph, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. For our Savior was tempted on earth in this very place of his missionary work, this very place where he came to give his life a ransom. He was tempted in his humanity, tempted as a man in the wilderness alone. Christ is God's provision for the salvation of sinners. Christ was sent forth with a redemptive mission to save sinners from eternal death. He alone is the chosen mediator between God and man. And therefore, it is to Christ alone that sinners must go to find eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer of God's elect. And so when we look through the book of Joseph, or the life of Joseph, we learn that there is a great view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those practical lessons to our own life. Because, believer, as we said, we do not live in cloud nine. We live on this earth. And as we have our various places where we work, our very places where we labor, where we live, we are tempted in every part. There's temptations at work, temptations at the home, temptations when we're by ourselves, temptations when we are away from family. And so Joseph went through it. And then we learn as well the Lord Jesus Christ. But the great purpose of the devil's attack is to make the child of God fall, to make the child of God unusable, to do what God wants you to do. Joseph has been chosen as the one who will save the nation from this famine, save the nation from death. Because remember, from that nation will be the tribe of Judah, to which Christ will come through. And so everything all centers upon redemption. If Joseph fails, if the nation is not saved, then the line, the seed line, perishes, and it all hindering the birth of Christ. Same with the Savior. He is the chosen mediator. And therefore, he is tempted. And if Christ fails in his temptation, then there's no salvation for any sinner. And there's no victory over temptation for the child of God. And we've made these points in the last number of weeks. And I'll repeat it again. Jesus Christ is the sinless Savior. He did not sin and he could not sin. Perfect, spotless Lamb of God. We learned also to be tempted or to suffer temptation in and of itself is not sin. Because if to be tempted is sin, then Christ is a sinner. And so we learned that temptation is only sin whenever we submit to it, whenever we respond to it. And so Joseph was tested. Joseph was tempted, but he did not respond to that temptation. Rather, he refused it. Christ was tempted. He did not respond to it. Rather, he refused it. And that's why he could say, the devil, the prince of this world, find nothing in me. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted as our mediator, as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Remember, what does the Shorter Catechism, question 23, teach? What offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ, our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, a priest, and a king in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. And so Christ, in all three of his offices, was tempted. To fail in any one of them is to fail as a mediator. So he was tempted in his humiliation, a man of sorrows. The first temptation was directed against his prophetical office. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And the temptation was not so much to eat food, because there was nothing wrong with eating food, but the temptation was to distrust God, to doubt his sonship, to satisfy himself, to live for himself, to do what he desired for himself, to go outside the will of God, really, to suffer without the cross. However, Christ came into this world not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. He came not to serve himself, but to serve sinners. He came not to die for himself. He came to die for sinners. He came to save. So everything Christ came to do, it was for sinners. Second temptation was directed against his high priestly office. Matthew 4, verse 5 to 6. To go to the pinnacle of the temple and to cast himself down and give the angels charge to protect him. Again, this proclamation is against Christ as our priest, because he must die by the way of the cross. He must suffer by the way of the cross. And again, as we look at later on, Christ, these three temptations, they were again at the cross. Because Christ, what did the devil say to him? Tempt him, throw yourself down from the temple and angels will protect you. Tempting Christ to suffer again without the cross. Offering a new way of salvation without the way of the cross. Living for God without the way of the cross. Showing that I can actually influence your life. What did they say to Christ on the cross? Come down from the cross. Save thyself. And that's what the temptation is there in his high priestly ministry. Throw yourself off the temple and angels will protect you. In other words, live for yourself. You can do what you want to do. And then the temptation in his kingly office. Matthew 4, verse 8 and 9. Again, he would show him the kingdoms of the world if you bow before me. And that involved the crown without the sufferings, the crown without the cross. And so Christ is to be worshipped. He alone is king. All things were created by him and for him. And so at the very beginning of his public ministry, it was necessary for Christ to be tested, for Christ to be tempted in order to earn salvation for sinners and to provide protection for his people. And so as our prophet, our priest, and our king, Christ defeated the wicked one, the devil one, the devil. And for that reason, Christ is the victorious one. And we can have victory over temptation because Christ is victorious. Christ came to accomplish where the first prophet, priest, and king named Adam failed. Christ came to conquer where Adam was conquered. Christ came to succeed where Adam failed. Christ came to win what Adam lost, which was victory over temptation and honor to God. And so what we're learning between the two, Joseph and Christ, both are tempted for a purpose. And that is the purpose for the devil's purpose. One is that they will fail, but God's purpose is to show that they are, they deliver. And through their lives, Joseph shows the believer can have victory over sin. And Christ shows he's the one who gives that victory over sin. And so through Christ, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. And so with that in mind, notice the seventh point, the power of Joseph's temptation. Verses 7 and 12 really summarize the power of temptation. It was a strong temptation. It was a temptation that appealed to the flesh. Such is the web or net that catches many. To be entangled in a web of lust and lies. By her temptation, Potiphar's wife suggested that what she was offering Joseph would be a benefit to him. It would work well for him. It would suit him. It would meet his need. Joseph is a single man. He's a young man. He's an unmarried man. And so the devil, they're using this woman. She tempts him to make him feel he is missing out and what he is lacking in life, she is able to give it if he but submits to her temptation. And that's why we learned last week in her persistency, day by day, time and time again, lie with me, lie with me. She gave the impression that since Joseph is a slave, and all the matters of the house have been given to him, then she fits that bracket because I'm in this house and therefore I've been given to you. You can take me, Joseph. Lie with me. Therefore, Joseph was caused to think that this would be a way that would be pleasurable and Potiphar would not disapprove. Again, Joseph said, he hath committed all into, she said, he hath committed all into thy hand. And so she plays on this. She tries to twist the meaning off the words. In other words, since all belongs into the house, all Potiphar has given to you, then he's given me to you as well. And we learned that already, that Joseph refused that, and he said, he has given me everything except you. This was the temptation that Satan used with Adam and Eve to tempt them, to twist the word. Did God really say that you would die? Did God really mean that? Just try it and see. And Potiphar's wife continues to add to this temptation. Her words are getting stronger. Her force is getting stronger. And she wants Joseph to speak to her, to act to her in a manner that he will surrender. She's giving herself to Joseph. Her words are poison. Her actions are explosive. Her motives are unscriptural. And she keeps coming to Joseph with a strong temptation day by day. More and more and more is getting added on. She will not give up, as we learned last week. And therefore we consider Christ's temptation. His was the strongest ever known to man. He was tempted aggressively because of who he was. The devil wanted to find a weakness in Christ, because a weak Christ can never save. A weak Christ is a powerless Christ. And so when Christ was tempted, each temptation was stronger. More and more was added to the temptation, from the stones, then to the temple, and then to the kingdoms. And therefore, believer, learn from Joseph's life, from Christ's life. When you're tempted, the temptations will get stronger. More will be added on. You may be losing ground. Things are getting closer. Things are getting hard to resist. All the extras are being added on, depending on what that temptation is. But the whole point of the temptation is this. It's to get you to think that you are missing out, that there's a need there that the world can fill. Or there's a need there that you need to do this, that you'll regret it if you don't take it, if you don't try it, if you don't join it, if you don't see it, if you don't smoke it, drink it, go with it, give it a try. You're missing out in it. Isn't that the whole point of advertisements and all the different things? They get you to think you are missing out on this. Isn't that what young people go through? All the different changes. Take this, drink that, smoke that. You're missing out. And that's the whole point of this temptation. It's to make you feel, I need to try this. I need to take this. I need to go with the flow. And that's what's happening. You're caught like a fish on a hook, and you're being pulled closer and closer. And we're that weak at times we don't even try. Because isn't that the part of fishing? I don't know if you're a fisher or not. I tried it, but, if you're good at fishing, keep at it anyway. But point is, when I was fishing with someone, they got the bait, and they had all these different bait. You get these wee fake plastic things, and all different colours, all this here. But then they would also use live bait, and they would say, this works the best to attract the fish. But whatever they use to attract the fish, to catch them. And in this case, the devil's using, or the temptation, is live bait. It's a woman before Joseph coming to him. You're young, you're single. I'm what you need. I can meet this need for you. Take me now, try me now. No one's around, no one will know. Here's the temptation. But Joseph, as I say, it is sexual sin. The enemy has come in like a flood. John chapter 1, verse 2 to 16, for all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so all the focus is on the mind and the eyesight to focus on this, and for you to believe, do you know what, I actually am missing out on this here. And when that is the case, you have hit a spiritual iceberg. You are sinking faster than the Titanic, where you will spend the rest of your days in spiritual shipwreck, falling apart, wasting away. And people will look at your life and comment what once used to be. And you hear the stories, which I have heard many, many times. Oh, if you had known that person, they were always at the prayer meeting. Oh, if you knew that person, they never missed church. Oh, if you knew that person, they always got involved. But now look at them. They're wasting away because they give in believing this is what I actually did need. And I thought I was missing out. And they have made shipwreck. And therefore, believer, when that happens, look out for spiritual icebergs. Things that you think will not make a dent in your life. Things that you think will not make impact. I tell you, it will. And you won't even realize it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Put on the helmet of salvation. Christ's grace is sufficient because he is our defender. He is our protector. It's interesting to note, Song of Solomon says in Song of Solomon 5, verse 12, Christ, his eyes are as the eyes of doves. Song of Solomon is that picture, again, pointing to Christ. And so there's a few there. The dove is a symbol of purity. And so remember, the Holy Spirit came on Christ in the form of a dove. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because in and of ourselves, we are weak, we are helpless. And in and of ourselves, we would prone to wander. And so when the temptation comes, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He's your defense, your stronghold in a day of trouble. He's the captain of salvation, and he will bring you to safety. Is there one today, the temptation in your life is powerful. It's getting stronger. It's persistent. Things won't let you go. People won't let you get away with it. Try it, take it, do it. Get to Christ, because there is safe ground. Notice finally, the purpose of Joseph's temptation. As far as Potiphar's wife is concerned, she just wants to satisfy her own lusts. Up to her, or up to now all this point, is to please self. Her whole point is to keep this whole temptation a secret. And we have noticed that as we've gone. She tempted Joseph, expecting Joseph to move toward her, to fulfill the desire. In the twisted thinking of this woman, if Joseph went along with her sinful request and fulfilled her lust, then it would be their little secret. No one would ever know. And there is that line of thinking in her heart. She's planning everything. She knows when no one is around. And so that's what she's aiming for. And of course, Joseph knows straight away that this is sin against God. This woman who's tempting when they're alone. This woman who knows when to do these things. She has it all planned out. And isn't that the case? Young people, be careful when you're put in a situation that's getting uncomfortable. When a person or people suggest anything to you that goes along the lines, don't tell your parents. Don't tell the school teacher. Listen, no one needs to know. It's our little secret. No one will ever find out. And that may cover a range of things. When you have to question if a situation or what is taking place right now, that I shouldn't be doing this or this shouldn't be happening, then you're too close to doing wrong. See it as Joseph, great wickedness against God. See it as offense against God, because that's what this woman does. She comes discreetly. She comes with that deceptiveness. She comes to make her move when they are alone, so no one knows what really took place. But the Lord knew. The Lord was watching. The very fact Joseph refuses her temptation and he flees her presence, she's embarrassed. She's now exposed. And then she begins to think, you know what? Joseph's gone out now. He's fled the house. It's going to be his story against mine. So then she begins, because she had already planned the thing when no one would be there, she can now say what she wants to say, that people will believe it. And she plots and accuses Joseph. There's no witnesses. She's the master's wife. Other slaves won't take Joseph's side. She's too powerful, and they know fine rightly, one thing against her, they'll be gone as well. And so when she says what she wants to say, with all her position, with all her power, they just submit and agree with her. And she creates this whole scene from verses 14 to 16. She called on to the men of the house, speak unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came to me to lie with me. But I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that he lifted up my voice, I lifted up my voice and cried. And he left his garment with me, fled and got out. Of course, unknown and undetected by her, the devil was working through Potiphar's wife in an attempt to ruin Joseph. The devil's purpose was to hinder God's redeemed people and God's redemptive purpose, not only in Joseph's life, but ultimately in Christ. God had purposed for Joseph's life, as we have already seen by the dreams in Genesis 37. God purposed in a future day that Joseph would sit and be exalted high above all, that his brethren one day will come and bow before him and see him as ruler. Through Joseph's power, his position and provisions, he has been chosen to save the nation, that nation that is made up of the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. And as we said, through one of those tribes is the line, the tribe of Judah, which Christ will come through. And so the devil's purpose is to destroy Joseph, because to destroy Joseph, for him to fail to save the nation, is then to destroy the line of Judah and to hinder the purposes of the coming of Christ. And that's why in the life of Christ, the devil made every attempt to stop the cross work of Christ, even through Herod, when Christ was born, how he sought to destroy him, even at his birth, even on through the temptations, even on the cross, Christ was tempted as he suffered, bearing the sin of all his people. Again, Matthew 27, verse 39 to 43. Here's the first temptation as the prophet tempted as his person. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. The same words that the devil tempted him with in the wilderness. Now on the cross they're shouting, if thou be the Son of God. And even there on the cross, Christ is tempted as our prophet. Then as the priest, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They mocked him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. The priest came to offer up a sacrifice. The priest came to pray for the people on behalf of that sacrifice. And therefore, if Christ came down from the cross, he would not be able to fulfill his redemptive work. He would not have been able to say, it is finished. Again, as our king, if he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. So Christ stayed on the cross to purchase redemption, to provide full deliverance for all his people, to earn victory over sin. And learn, believer, in your life, when the devil comes and taking all the 8 points that we have looked at, in the place that you're tempted, in the persistency, every single thing, it's all to stop God working in your life. As we said, there could be one here, could be the next minister, the next missionary, Sunday school worker, child evangelist, whatever it may be, elder deacon. The devil wants to ruin your life. We learn, don't we, Peter? What did Peter say in closing? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour means to swallow up, means to drink down. The same as you eat your food or you take a drink of tea, coffee, Diet Coke, you swallow it up. You eat your food, you swallow it, it's gone. You take a drink, you swallow it, it's gone. And so that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to swallow up the child of God. He wants to ruin their life. That's nothing left of them. And so Joseph and Christ show a great lesson for the believer. Joseph and Christ show that there's victory over sin. God has purposed to save a people and secure that people. And he supplied for that people all they need to live victorious Christian lives. Joseph shows that victory in the Christian life is a reality, is a possibility. It's successful. We don't have to live in defeat, doom and gloom. And then Christ shows there is victory over temptation. He's the one who gives the victory. And therefore, men and women, as I said, I don't know what you faced this week, what you faced last week. Young people in school, outside of school, at the home, outside the home. But whatever it is, note that there's victory in Jesus Christ. Because we'll learn about that next week as we go into detail about Joseph's triumph over the tempter. So I just close with this to note that as we are saved from the power of sin, we're saved from the penalty of sin. But as we battle daily with the presence of sin, the pleasures of sin, the pull of sin, these things will not let us go until we reach heaven, until we enter in to Emmanuel's land, until we are with Christ. But upon earth, Christ has given all we need to live victorious Christian lives. And we pray that God will cause us, even to, like Joseph, to have that high and holy view of God, that when these things come to tempt, come to attack, note and say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I love my Savior so much that I want to honor and please him for his name's sake. Amen.